Archie. Archie, my old boss. My favorite boss. Well, see, I had made you something. It was just something small. It was just songs that remind me of Archie. And it was just my thoughts about it and why it reminded me of you. But now that you know my secret about my time working for you, I can make this the most amazing CD ever. I gotta tell you, after I saw you and you came in and you told me you know my secret, I went home and I'm like, I'm gonna make him an amazing CD, even better than the one that I had before. And I thought, okay, where do I begin? And then I went and I found this one file, and it was on August 20th of 2009, and it was the first day that I actually recorded the entire day. I even recorded myself driving. And I'll get into why I recorded every single second of that day. By the time the end of this CD is over, you'll understand why I recorded every single second of that day. But I put on the file, and you can hear me like driving and, you know, putting my keys in my car and everything. And then it's all quiet and I'm just driving, you know, doing normal things. And then you can hear me push play on my iPod in the car, and this song starts right back up. Comes back, this song. I remember when I was into this music, and that's the thing though. It's a long, long story. Yeah. There was a summer, the summer of 09, and the reason it was so significant was because in July of 2009, towards the middle of it, I decided to buy a recorder. The reason why I bought it is such a long story, and the thing that I realized is that every thought that I have and every moment that I have is connected to the previous one and will be connected to future ones. And there's all of my stories connect together. And since all of my thoughts and all my stories and my moments are all connected, I finally realized that the centerpiece of all the connections start with music. And so I hear that song, Here We Go Again by Demi Lovato. Now, you probably don't even know who Demi Lovato is. Basically, Demi Lovato is like the Disney Channel star. She kind of took over Disney Channel after Miley Cyrus got all slutty. So Demi Lovato has her own show on the Disney Channel, and she did that Camp Rock. She did a movie. You don't even know who she is. It doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter who she is. But in July of 2009, she had come out with her second album called Here We Go Again. And I think I was in my like teenage girl phase at the time, because I was watching like a lot of iCarly. I was going back and downloading like Hey Dude and all that, and Hey Arnold. I was regressing a couple of decades. And at that time, I was living with Lauren. You know Lauren. I was living with Lauren and a couple of other people, and I wasn't doing anything. What I would do is I would get home from work and then sit outside on my computer, watch TV shows that I had downloaded, and smoke my hookah. That's all I would do. I wouldn't do anything. I didn't have my website. I wasn't making videos. I wasn't doing jack. I think that this is why this happened, is that I had a MacBook. I had a black MacBook, MacBook old. And one night I was getting ready. I was like, I'm gonna watch Dollhouse. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna watch Dollhouse, and I'm gonna drink this whole bottle of wine. But I'm not gonna drink it out of the bottle. I'm gonna be classy. I put it in this American Idol cup that I had. And I pour the whole thing in this American Idol cup. I go to sit outside. I got my hookah ready. I got Dollhouse. It's ready to go. And I go to push play, and the wine cup spills all over my MacBook, and I freak the fuck out and like grab it, turn it upside down, take the fucking battery out, and then it's dead. It's, oh my god, it's so dead. It starts frying and fizzing, and then I start crying, and like I'm rocking back and forth in the hallway with like my arms wrapped around my knees, and Lauren thought like I had been killed. And so then what I had to do was bust out my old G4, which still works, had to bust out my G4, hook it all up, and I needed some music. And so I went to the iTunes store, and I saw that Demi Lovato's new album was out, and I'm like, oh yes, my teenage girl phase, let me just download some Demi Lovato. And then I remembered, like, oh my god, Brooke White's album comes out too. And you're thinking, Brooke White, that sounds familiar. Brooke White was my absolute favorite the very first year I started watching American Idol. That was the year that David Cook won, and I started watching Idol that year. I was living with my friend Stanton, and I loved everything Brooke White did. She was so sweet and pretty, and she had a great voice. Oh my god, Brooke White. I was devastated when she got voted off. But then I heard that she was doing this album. It's called High Hopes and Heartbreak, and I totally forgot about it. Until I log on to iTunes, and then I see Demi Lovato, Brooke White, and I'm like, boom, I'm gonna download both of these albums and compare them.
I really like Brooke White's new album. It's really good. It makes me think and kind of feel like at home, and you know, reminiscent is kind of the feel it gives me.
But the thing is that those two albums wasn't what prompted me to go and get the recorder. It's actually connected to another story, which I'm not going to tell too deep into, but long story short, I was hanging out with Erica, doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing, and then I told her, okay, just drop me off and leave me here at the Spectrum. And I start walking around, writing down in my journal, just ferociously writing down, like I couldn't write fast enough. I was thinking and I was writing like idea after idea after idea, and it got to the point where like I wasn't even writing sentences anymore, just like a word and a bubble around it, and then it connected to another word with a bubble around it. And I look back at it and it doesn't really make sense, but I know exactly what I was thinking. But the thing is that like I was writing so fast, I couldn't even get my thoughts out fast enough. And it was so intense, and there's a super long story behind that, but I'm not even gonna get into it. But basically, the point that you get was that I couldn't get my thoughts out fast enough. And then a couple of weeks roll by. That was June 7th, by the way. June 7th, 2009, that day happened. And I still didn't buy the recorder, like it didn't hit me. I just continued to sit outside and watch my shows, and then I was watching iCarly. And then I thought that even my thoughts, as I'm watching this show, even my thoughts are recordable. Like what I think and what I'm seeing in the background, like they're recordable. I can write them down. So I started taking notes on everything that I was seeing. And then it just got to the point I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just fucking buy a tape recorder. I'll just go out, buy a tape recorder, and get my thoughts out that way. It wasn't like, it's weird. It wasn't like one thing that made me go and get it. It was a culmination of things that was like, go and buy this recorder. So I did. Went out and I bought it.
Testing 1, 2, 3. This is what I sound like when I'm speaking. Testing 1, 2, 3. I'm listening to Taylor Swift. Can you hear it? How do I feel about finally purchasing this voice changer? It is a changer. No, I have a voice changer. Voice recorder. I've wanted one for so long and now I have one. Oh, I'm excited. And I'm going to say, I'm going to do a lot of things with it. I'm going to do this with it. I'm going to do that with it. Well, I actually mean it this time. I do. I swear. Let's read the whole thing, shall we?
And it was kind of fat. Like I've gone through two recorders. The first one that I had was a little bit fatter, and it was so cool though. Plugged in, you had a USB port on the bottom. Plug it into a computer. Boom! It copies everything over. Awesome. Bought it. Use it. Bring it home, and then it doesn't work with my Mac. Didn't work with my Mac, so I had to use my roommate's PC to transfer all my files over, and then from there transfer them over to my computer. It was just super complicated. And it's funny, actually, like the recordings that I did, like the first day that I got the recorder, were so different than the way I record now. Because at the time, I was just thinking, okay, these are thoughts that I just need to get out. This is kind of like a journal version. This is like a faster way to journal.
I'm currently at the corner. I know it's okay to cross. I do, because I've been driving before. It's green. Everything's fine. But the little man is not there to say, it's okay, you can cross. Nope. So, what am I doing? Standing on the street corner, waiting for the little man. If that doesn't make me crazy, I don't know what does. This is on our iPod. I just keep skipping through everything. That's why back in the day they listened to albums, because then you know you like that artist. You're gonna like what they play. Like I just keep skipping. There we go.
But then I started recording like life moments.
This is con artist business of like ripping off chain
or
places.
Like the people, but a kid's Coco.
Yeah.
Like, you always just assume there's a kid outside. Yeah. But is there really?
No. No, there never is.
There never is, and they're just getting.
Because if there really was, they would have gotten something for themselves.
Yeah.
Like a small coffee in a large cup, you know, and you always give them more, but they pay that less. Those are everyday swindlers.
So then I started doing that, and then I listened back to it, and I realized, like, I remember what I was thinking when I was talking to her, and that is what I need to remember. That is the important stuff. Those are the things that you don't remember to write down in your journal, because the only way you can remember a thought is if you have that thought again, and the only way to bring back the thought again is to live whatever it is that made you think of that. It's such a complicated concept and it can't be grasped with paper. So that's what I realized. It's like, I need to record more so that I can remember what I was thinking. I need to remember what I was thinking because there's so many thoughts that just get lost and they're all good thoughts, but there's no way to remember all of them. It's nearly impossible. And the only way to remember it is to live it again. So that's what I decided. But still, like, I wasn't recording every single day, like every single hour. It was just moments that I thought were going to be interesting.
What the hell is that? Is that a boat going in? A boat crash.
Docking.
A crash. The boat crashes and collision. The boat's going along. It's choppy water. Boat plus crash. Boat crash.
Shipwreck.
Shipwreck. Yes.
I don't know what prompted me. I think it was just that I could. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring it to work with me. And I just recorded the entire shift. I think it was a lunch shift. And the very first person that I got on tape at the restaurant was, guess who? Erica. And it's funny. She, like, comes up to the host stand and gets on my case about how this one drawer is disorganized.
I did. I organized when I was here on Saturday.
This drawer can be used for, like, a lot of these things. And then...
Hey, look, dude.
Kids' menus can go
No, dude. No. I had it. Someone messed with it. Okay, I had the gluten-free menus on the bottom. I had the application second at the bottom. This crap I put somewhere else, like, way even below.
And listening back to that, it's like, I remember that day. I remember that day now. But those are days that would just get lost in your memory if you didn't remember specific things that we had talked about. I'd been working at the restaurant for, like, I don't know, like 3 months, and I was still at my kind of uncomfortable stage, and really the only people I was cool with was Erica, obviously, Kathy, and Lisa Jackson. Remember Lisa Jackson? Lisa Jackson. The only thing, I can only think of one thing when I think of Lisa Jackson, and that is the one time, it was like the second time that I took the recorder to work with me, and this one song came on, and I remember it like it was yesterday, and I thought, oh my god, this song always comes on. But it got to the point where, like, it would come on enough to where I actually wanted to download it. And luckily I had the recording so I could, like, go back and listen to the lyrics and find out what it was.
Lisa Jackson.
Hi,
you're going home early? This song always comes on. Oh, I figured it out. You kind of look like Suzanne Summers a little bit.
And Kathy actually really took a liking to me. At the time, like I said, I was moving out, and it was my, July 31st was my other roommate's birthday, and I wanted to make her pillows, and I know Kathy sews, so I enlisted her help, and she took me to Fabric World, and we had so much fun.
I'm all standing there watching until my truck is feeling the blood dripping down my leg.
And I remember we went to Fabric World, and this one song was playing in the background. It's like that Sophie B. Hawkins kind of tune, like Donna Lewis, or one of those, like, easy listening Coast 103.5 songs. And I just thought to myself, like, I am in the right place. Keep doing what you're doing.
Like, kind of groovy.
Oh, they got the store goes way back.
I'm looking for groovy.
You don't want old lady floral, do you?
A what?
Old lady floral?
No.
But the end of July was rolling around, and our lease, me and Lauren and the other people we lived with, our lease was up by the end of July, and I didn't have a new place to live. I didn't know what I was going to do. All I knew was Erica and Audrey were going away. They were going overseas for like a month, and I was just going to rent out their room because I could, and I didn't have anywhere else to go anyway. So I put all my stuff in storage and was going to stay at their house beginning of August. That's when it was gonna start. And I remember actually when I was, like, packing my stuff, all I did was play Demi Lovato's album and Brooke White's album. I put them in a playlist together, and I called the playlist Two Great Albums, and I just played both of those albums on random back and forth. And that's why these songs will always remind me of that time, moving, the summer of 09. So I think it was a couple of days before Erica and Audrey left. I wasn't recording every day at work. I only recorded like 2 days, and then I would kind of keep it in my pocket and bust it out when I thought something interesting was going to happen. And there was one night, there was one morning, and it was a really slow morning. I was setting up the restaurant, talking to Erica, and this one song comes on in the background. And music will just take me to another place. So Erica is talking to me, and I remember like it was yesterday. My mind just totally turns off, goes somewhere else. Erica's still talking to me. And it was this song that was playing in the background. I was thinking two things. I was thinking, one, isn't this the theme song to Suddenly Susan? And then I just start laughing in my head, and it's like, oh my god, the theme to Suddenly Susan with Brooke Shields, where she's like, I don't know if you remember that, where it was like the intro where she's like this giant person, she's like stepping over the city, and this song is playing. Well, I don't tell jokes, and I don't take notes. Yeah, that one. She was talking to me, and my mind was totally somewhere else. And that's the thing, like, with this recording, I know that because I was there. I lived it. I remember what I was thinking because I remember it all now. It all comes back. It just puts me back in that same mindset. So, I remember that. And then I decided, like, as soon as I got home, I was going to go download that song. And I did. And then I realized, like, because the beginning of the song is so, like, cool, I realized as I was listening to it, like, this could be the song that I play in the background when I'm like narrating something, or like I can totally hear my voice saying, like, I was a young girl in the city, didn't know what I was gonna do, and then, you know, like something like that. And at that moment, I kind of got this feeling where it's like, Emily, keep doing what you're doing, because you might be doing something right if you're having ideas like this. So I remember that so clearly. And then the next day, this was like, I think Erica and Audrey were going to leave to go overseas in like 2 days. Now, at the time, I did not know Lana, I did not know Colette, and it was just gonna be me, Lana, and Colette staying at their house. And at the time, I don't know if you remember this, I was absolutely terrified of Lana. She is scary. Like, well, she was absolutely scary because at the time she was a server, and she would always walk by like so fucking serious, like with that look on her face, and her eyes are so intense, and her face is all like, and she's got this like air about her where it's like, don't fuck with this, you know, that kind of, I did not want to fuck with that. She scared me to death. And there was one day, this was a couple days before Erica and Audrey were gonna leave, I run into Audrey, I'm going to the restaurant and she's leaving. So then she's like, oh, walk with me to my car. And we're walking and we're talking, and it's so funny because Audrey just like cannot finish a story. She cannot finish a sentence. She just, it's like the most confusing thing. It took me like a year to understand any word that comes out of her mouth.
Oh yeah, like, and I was like this, blah, blah, blah. Like, do you want like something when I come back, or do you want me to bring you guys something, like a present or something? Don't tell anybody, like I can't, like I'm not supposed to do that, but like I want to bring a girl something.
Anyway, so then we get to the car, and it's Lana's car, and so she's like, oh, just get in the car, and I'll drop you off over at the front door.
But I don't know if I want to get in Lana's car.
You're afraid of Lana?
I'm a little afraid of Lana.
It's okay, you can get out before Lana gets in, and you'll just see her.
Okay, are you sure?
I was never in this car.
Okay, done. You were not in here.
And then they left, and our lease was finally up, and I go and I start staying at their house. Now keep in mind, I still had that first recorder that only worked with my roommate's PC, and my roommate is not my roommate anymore. So I filled up that first recorder, and my first night staying there, like, Lana didn't really talk to me. But then my second night, she talked to me. And then after our first conversation, I realized everything that comes out of this girl's mouth is gold. Like, I need to record this all the time.
I really don't like that flavor. Cherry, huh?
Yeah, I would.
Fuck, makes me feel like I'm at the goddamn dentist, dude.
Because, like I said, it's not only what she's saying to me, it's what she's saying to me and what it makes me think. And the only way to have that thought again is if she says it to me again. And the only way to have that is if I were to record it. So that's what I started doing. And I decided, like, okay, I still had my fat recorder that only worked with PCs, so I had to like go, and I'm like, screw it, I'm just buying another recorder. So I went and I bought another recorder, really shelled out the cash for this one. But it's really honestly the best investment I've ever made. And then from then on, I started recording everything. Everything.
I just remember like when I used to date a bunch of Aries guys, like obsessed with Aries, and not to anybody but an Aries. And then I was like, swore off all Aries. I was like, no more Aries, I've had enough.
I mean, that wasn't until about mid-August. That's when Lana and I really started to bond, because we are both such bizarre people, but we do have common ground in that we're both interested in the bizarre.
You know what you can do on this phone too? They can announce the name of the person that's calling.
That's kind of cool.
Be like, text from Travis Carter.
Except when you're in public.
Why not?
What if you know a bunch of famous people?
Call from
Nicole.
Call from Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Call from Lil Wayne.
And at the time, Lana was celibate, and she had been celibate for, like, almost a year. She went through a couple different texting boyfriends, and Lana just, like, she was texting this guy at the time, and they were, like, you know, texting back and forth, and they had hung out one time, and they were, like, texting back and forth, and if he says something that makes her mad, boom, delete your number. And then she ends up, like, trying to find that number after she had deleted it. And then she puts it back in, and then they start texting again, and then she deletes the number again. It's just a vicious cycle.
Erase your number.
Again.
I know. I never put his number in, but I just erased, like, all the records.
Oh.
I wouldn't be tempted, you know.
I see.
I'm like that.
And that was Monday, so I guess, like, 2 days ago.
Yeah, so now I've been single for 2 days now.
Textually single.
Textually.
And actually, she, at the end of that month, she had actually called Loveline.
Svetlana, you're 25.
Yes, hi.
Hey, you're with Steve Ward.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm great, Svetlana. How are you?
Good. I actually watched your show. I thought it was actually very, very helpful to me and my friends, as bad as that sounds. But
no, I appreciate
thought that was a great idea.
Great. Well, what's your question? How can I help you?
Well, my question is, my dad's kind of a deadbeat kind of guy, and he's not very much in my life. And I just kind of always dated, like, all kinds of different guys and never found the right one. And I'm kind of taking a break, and I've been single for, like, a year. And I'm just afraid to, like, go back out there because I'm scared of, like, the same negative stuff will happen.
That's interesting. I find it even more interesting that the first thing that comes out of your mouth is you have a deadbeat dad. I mean, I appreciate the fact that you're trying to connect the dots.
I think she's listening to this show.
Yeah.
So she...
it was funny because that was really quick, by the way. I called, like, a minute ago, and you guys already had me on, which is, I'm really nervous. I was trying to get over my own nervousness, but now it's, like, I'm in the middle of it.
As far as you're concerned, Svetlana, I mean, I would tell you that when you do go back out there and you start dating guys, just try not to challenge them. You know, make sure that you date somebody that you feel is on your level and somebody that, you know, can be your equal in a relationship. And then, you know, when it comes to trying to make it work with that person, just be conscious of the fact that you have these insecurities and that you just want to, you know, be open and communicate with the guy, but don't make him feel like he has to, you know, take some sort of test in order to be with you.
I always feel like
I'm too easy, and then that's the thing. So there's no test. I always feel like, because I'm like, I've never really had my dad around, so I'm like, oh, you're a guy, you're around, cool, stick around, I'll do anything.
But I'll tell you the one thing you can adjust to, which is that if you're attracted to that guy, run the other way. I know it's a horrible and counterintuitive thing.
I know, I always do that. I've been doing that. Actually, I listen to you, and I've been doing it. I'm like, I like him. That idea, don't talk to him, walk away now.
Right, and go some guy you're not so exciting, somebody you're kind of into, because the exciting guys are going to be the jerks that abandon you every time. It's just that you've got the it's your compass, and we know your picker's busted. Your dad left you with that lovely legacy. Thank you, Dad.
I know.
Oh, Svetlana, you sound great.
Okay, well,
doesn't she sound great?
Hey, Svetlana, go to mastermatchmakers.com. I'll find you a guy.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah, just contact me there.
I'm a Gemini, and I speak Russian, and I make really good martinis, so.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right, I'm in here. Take care.
How those would go together, but thank you guys so
much. All right, bye-bye. Woo!
So that's all I would do is I would stay up late and talk to Lana, and she taught me about so much that I didn't know. Like, she introduced me to astrology, and in case you didn't catch that, that's, like, one of my really big interests now. I knew, like, oh, I'm an Aquarius, but I didn't know anything more than that. And she didn't, like, make me learn it. It's just that she talked about it all the time to where I had no choice, but I just caught on to it. And it was so interesting because I felt that it was so accurate. I even remember one time we were talking about you, because all I would do is just look up celebrities that I liked and their charts and find out, like, what their signs were. And one time I looked up Anne Hathaway.
I found a really cool chart today. I looked up a celebs chart, and they're a tough-as-nails Scorpio. Anne Hathaway, tough-as-nails Scorpio.
Oh, my God. What the fuck? She's got a sun in Scorpio.
Oh my God. Tough as nails Scorpio.
Well, no, because if you think about it, those Scorpios, that's like tough as nails Scorpio, but Archie.
Well, she's a female tough as nails Scorpio.
Yep, there he is. There he is. Look at Archie there.
Whoa. That's him? That's tough as nails right there.
Yeah, bro. It's like Scorpio Sagittarius, that's all. So He's a Venus in Scorpio, a Mars in Scorpio, a Sun in Scorpio, and a Mercury in Scorpio with a Moon in Sagittarius. Like his sergeant, like the toughest planet, Saturn, is actually in Cancer.
Hmm.
Well, no wonder he's very nurturing toward, like, you know what I mean? Instead of being like, order, 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 he almost, like, nurtures it and wants to show you the way, and he's, like, very mellow about it versus, like, why don't you have this fucking perfect? Like, it should be perfect. It's more like, I'll explain to you, feel it out, like, or make sure you understand, and then if you don't fucking get the drill, then I'll, like, make sure to tell you again, and then if you don't, then, you know, then the Scorpio can sort of deal with that.
I think Anne Hathaway has more Scorpio, though. Oh, wait, no, she doesn't.
So she's got the same amount of Scorpio, but, yeah, that's intense, huh? That's, like, he's, like, so together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, a couple of here gives him a little bit of, like, territory, but he's, like...
Right there.
Like, all Scorp. All Scorp.
You feel that way, too.
And they all go in order like that. Fire, earth, air, water. And then again, starts fire, earth, air, water. Fire, earth, air, water. Fire,
got
earth,
it.
Air, water. So that's why, like, when you have an opposite sign, it's usually the opposite of your element. Like, Sagittarius is my opposite, and it's a fire sign. Like, your opposite is probably Leo. It's a fire sign. Yeah, Leos are like, I love, 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 buying myself the best things. Like, Leo's the one. Notice, like, J-Lo is a Leo. Think of it like that, you know?
A lot of celebs are Leos, I've noticed. Madonna's a Leo.
Yeah. She's the fucking... Oh, yeah. I was talking about how my boyfriends are too young. She's dating a 22-year-old. She's 51. Do you know that? Did you hear about that?
Madonna being 51?
She's 51. Boyfriend is 22. She's calling him the love of her life.
Oh,
Leos
Madonna.
Are so... Oh, my God. Leos are
oh,
so
Madonna.
Stupid, dude. Like... Oh my God, you were the love of my life. Come on, dude. You have 3 children. Can you just stop?
I thought it was great.
Dude, that's amazing. That's like a totally Aries thing.
Yeah, I thought it was
just completely
so
out of control.
Yeah.
Remember, I'm like, you must love getting pulled over if you're gonna like drive, like hang out with me, you know? Because that's part of my life. You must be against the IRS and be willing to get pulled over at any time. 2 major requirements. And number 2,
hanging out with Lana.
You must like to get pulled over, and...
Dude, you and Lindsay would so be buddies.
We would. She would probably have... Yeah, she would probably turn gay. And we'd probably have the wildest fights.
Yeah, you would have.
We would.
Crazy fights.
We would, huh?
To the death, like, dude, throwing clothes out the window and stuff.
Whatever, she would
yeah.
She would like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
all,
yeah.
I thought, you know, because, like, the area...
You like, slap her and... Like,
I've gotta be a nonsense husband. You. Whenever you want to pull that card out...
Just get out of my life.
I'm over here.
Good, get out of my house.
Wait, this is my house. She comes back. This is my house. I'm like, yeah.
It's mine now, bitch. Leave.
You just proved to yourself how high you are.
Earlier on when I was staying there, I was flipping through channels one day, and I don't ever have, like, the places that I've lived, we don't have, like a TV, okay? I just do everything on the computer. And they had a TV, and I was flipping through channels, and I came across this one thing that said, it was on Telemundo, and it said 12 Corazones. And I don't know any Spanish, like, I mean, I know some Spanish. I went through a Spanish phase where I would actually watch TV shows in Spanish, and I watched 24 with the Spanish dub. So I know how to say things like... Tell me the truth, he's dead, the president's on line one. Like, those are the things I know how to say. I remember one time I was actually sitting outside smoking a cigarette and one of those, like, creepy dishwashers came out and just started talking to me, and I talked to him in my semi-broken Spanish. I only know my Spanish in 12 Corazones.
12 Corazones?
You know? Sabes?
Yeah.
12 Corazones? You watch it?
Sí.
Well, I watch, 24 uh-huh. in Espanol.
24 por hora.
Regimente, 24. 24 por hora. Soy Akbar. Ajá. ¿Dónde está mi hija? Ajá. El presidente está en la línea 3. El Rey León.
El Rey León.
Yeah, you know.
¿Qué tú
ves? Disney movies en español.
Ajá.
Cenicienta.
Ajá.
Cenicienta. Pronto, Cenicienta. Lave platas. But one day I was flipping through the channels, came across 12 Corazones, and it's about the Zodiac. It's like a Spanish dating show, sort of.
You should watch this show. Well, they're doing astrology.
Where's the Gemini?
Where's the Aquarius? I've never seen this show. All I know is it's called 12 Hearts. That makes sense.
12?
Yeah. Must be a dating show. Oh, he's an Aquario!
He's a what?
Oh,
Aries?
I'm trying to get
his... Oh, he's a dick, dude.
And everybody's a different sign. But I got Lana into it because at 7 o'clock, Jeopardy would come on. But also at 7 o'clock, 12 Corazones started. So I would watch Jeopardy from 7 to 7:30 and then 12 Corazones from 7:30 to 8. And that whole block of time became kind of like a nightly tradition with me and Lana.
Oh, 7 o'clock.
For your work in college radio, one of these awards given for radio excellence since 1941. TV shows win them too.
Emmys.
Now, Scott,
what are Emmys?
Nope. Seven.
Learned a lot today.
It's all coming out now.
All coming out. Canadian football, there's 12 players. Cynophobia is the fear of China. Panophobia is the fear of everything. Tacophobia is the fear of speed.
Fear of everything?
Panophobia.
Panophobia and everything?
Everything. Mujeres means women. It's like men v. women. The men go, hombres, hombres. Capricornio.
She's cute, dude. She's got a little...
Yeah, her swagger.
Of course they're going to get into it. Aries and Leo, they always do.
Ooh, it's the first elimination! Already? We just met them.
Okay, honestly, the Leo's probably going to go.
I think so, too. She already
they
just...
They don't like her.
Yeah.
Because she's too proud.
Gemini and Pisces. Aquario. Comerciales! She, you can tell, I was watching her today, and I'm like, she loves her job. She's like, in the end, like, she's like, has her little speech, and she's like, para la próxima, la futura, comerciales! And she's like, dancing in the end, like, she's stoked. What an awesome job.
Also, at that time, like I said, Lana was celibate, and she was really into this one, documentary. And this documentary is called Freedom to Fascism, and it's about how we, you know, the tax law just isn't real. Like, we don't have to pay taxes, and it's kind of, you know, Lana, and she, you know, finds these things, and she was obsessed with this.
But it doesn't really sink in if you think about it. It's like, they're saying it's voluntary to comply to pay your income tax. For your voluntary and mandatory...
Spread the word, Lana. Spread the word. Let's get the revolt going. Show us the law, bro. That'll be the famous slogan in all the history books.
Wanted to go so far as to do like a Washington march, and I started joking with her about her, Lana, and Erica would go down there, and the whole slogan was, show me the law, bro, show me the law. You know how they say bro all the time?
My time and my free will is private property owned by myself and nobody else. It's not public property. It's not an investment. It's not a chunk you can take in it because it's private property. That's my labor. My labor is my private property because I choose to do what I do physically or whatever work I put in, that's my choice, and I can profit from it as I please, and I owe nobody for that.
Show us the law, bro!
Dude!
I was laughing about that earlier today, just like picturing them, like, just in, like, posters for, like, covering their bodies, and just like, show us the law, bro!
Show us the law!
Show us, I don't see it! I can't wait to see it on CNN.
Listen, you know, maybe I'm crazy, maybe I got a little too many tattoos.
The demonstration outside the White House led by this woman. You.
And then at this time, this was back before Lana had gotten promoted to bartender. This was like just the time. When I started staying with them was the week that Lana had gotten promoted to bartender. And that was when Lindsay was working there. You remember fucking Lindsay. I'm not even going to waste my breath on Lindsay. I hated that bitch so much. And I remember actually Lana and I bonded over the fact that we both hated Lindsay.
She's so horrible.
She's such a horrible person.
Horrible waste of human life.
She's horrible. Like, I don't understand how she got to the karma yesterday. Like, she got lucked out. She probably tricked God.
I know she did.
You know she did, right? Yeah. Like, every time she's at the bar, dude, she stands there, like, her whole fucking face, like, on the bar. I'm just like, I'm just gonna do your drink first so you get out of my face.
She was just unpleasantly rude. Like, it doesn't have to be this way, Lindsay. Can't we just be civil? Then the end of August rolled around, and Erica and Audrey came back. And I remember the night that they came back, I was sitting, watching 12 Corazones, and then I hear this, like, shatter. But I'm like, oh, it must not be anything. So I continue to watch, and then one of the neighbors knocks on the door. And it's hilarious. I was there for, like, less than a month, and I made friends with the neighbors, and they'd lived there for, like, a year.
Veronica.
Did that one girl move out?
Girl with the white car? She's not moving out. They're not moving. They're all moving out in February. Yeah, no. That's the one with the minivan. Yeah.
Okay. What is her name?
Erica.
Erica. Yeah. Okay, and then what's the girl in the white car's name?
Lana.
Lana.
And she's Russian.
Oh, is she? Yeah. Oh, we thought she was Oriental.
Oh, no. She's Asian. Russian. See, that makes sense. Now it makes sense, right? Because Russians have that temper, you know?
Yeah, because my daughter has a friend that's Russian. Oh, my God.
God.
So the neighbor had notified me. So I went down there, broom and dustpan, started cleaning it up. And I was still like, I mean, Lana and I were friends by this time, but I was still like kind of scared about her reaction to this. And I wasn't going to go in there and like go into her room and like find out what had happened. Like, I ain't crossing that line. But anyway, so then later the girls come home. And they were unsure if Lana and I were even going to get along.
Dude, I think you'll be quite pleased. I've been working on Lana.
I was like, I bet Emily's going to be a good influence on Lana. I'm excited to see her.
We're like, they'll probably be friends by the time I get back.
We'll see. Okay. All right. Very interesting character, that Lana.
Lana, I know. Didn't we tell you?
And then Lana came home, and this was the first time that they had seen her, like, as a bartender with the short apron.
How old are you?
Good, how are you?
You're in?
And a short apron,
bro. I know, bro.
Short apron.
We're all kind of like nervous telling her the news about the window. And I just thought it was the funniest thing. As Lana like goes and starts yelling, you can hear me like giggling because I thought it was so funny.
Hi, Lana.
Beautiful.
Hey, Lana.
Yes?
Emily?
I left a note, Polish. Lana.
Something
went down. Something happened.
Pat, Perry, somebody, I don't know if he was in there when you left or not. I just got home, but...
In my room?
Apparently, he shattered the window.
In my room? How did he shatter it?
I don't know.
Good, it was fucking closed, dude.
He probably knocked something into it.
Fucking stupid shit. I did what
I
could,
Lana. I even closed the door. I even checked it. I don't understand how he got in here.
Dude, I walked out of here and I'm like...
I don't fucking understand how they must have been in there already when you left.
But I was surprised, actually, she got over it pretty quick, and then she freaks out because they haven't heard about this tax thing yet. They haven't seen this freedom to fascism yet.
I don't know where that is.
Did you tell them about the tax law, bro?
Whoa, bro.
Bro.
You're a bro, dude, bro.
Oh, really? Really, Grandpa?
Grandpa.
Nothing will help me. Hey, have you heard of demons?
How many demons do you think it's going to take to help fucking me? And, yeah, fuck, dude, so mad.
And this guy's a fucking Jew? And how dare you use Yiddish, which is like... Dude, that proves Hitler was right. I'm gonna start defending Hitler's name every time anybody fucking...
Bro.
Fuck that. I did it at the bar today, too. I'm like, Hitler was not a bad guy. He was doing to human beings, to their bodies, what the systems were doing to us inside, and they're still doing. So what happened in the Holocaust is what spirituality is like on Earth today, is everybody's fucking unhappy and pissed off, and... The Holocaust, basically the gassing in the chambers, is pretty much signifying the state that our spirit is in today. And that's exactly what he didn't want, but he just fucking called too many demons and couldn't control it. And then he, like, got all that high on meth and then pretty much got out of control. And, like, you know, there you have, like, the lies of history.
So in between staying at my mom's house and a couple of nights on Erica's couch, I was still into 12 Corazones. I even remember one time I was watching it with my little brother, and at the time he was only, like, 6.
Sagittario.
Scorpio.
Yeah, she is gross.
Yeah, because he has a lot of chicken pox.
Yeah, she does.
But the cool part is that after staying that month at their house, I got to know Lana, I got to know Colette, got to know Audrey a little better. I started to feel a lot more comfortable at that host stand. So I started to just like totally be myself and make little friendships with everybody, little bonds, and it's something that I do really well now, and I thank the restaurant for that so much. Like, Candace is the perfect example. Like, when I don't know what to say to you or how to be witty around you, because, like, Candace would never come up and talk to me. She's very, very, very silent, and she would never come up and talk to me. So, like, when I don't know what to say to you, I just try to figure out which celebrity you look like, because there's got to be someone. And at the time, I thought she looked just like Ashley Tisdale. So, since I've mentioned anything about you know, your celebrity lookalike, has anybody else said anything? I don't know if it's just me. You've never gotten that before? It's like an uncanny resemblance.
I get Paris Hilton more.
Well, I see that. I see that, but it's more Ashley Tisdale.
You know Ashley Tisdale?
You would if you saw her. No coincidence that she voices a character named Candace. I mean, that's like
that
no coincidence right there.
But then, like, it's weird. After a couple of months, Candace became one of my favorite people to talk to, and she started talking to me. We had this thing. Every time she would come out to the host stand, I would just give her a body language tip. What do you want to know? What do you want to know about arms, legs, eyes? Eyes. Okay, we're doing the eyes. If you want to intimidate somebody, you look at them like this. Where am I staring at? Where am I staring?
My eyes.
Nope.
Eyebrows?
Have a good outside time. Right in between. In between the eyes. Well, you know, he didn't look like he was leaving. I never like to say that. Like, oh, I'm going to come right back.
That was hilarious.
Outside time.
He liked it, too.
I'm so glad. And that's the thing. I had little things with everybody. Like Michelle Foglia. I know that's not how you say her name, but I will forever call her Michelle Foglia, or Fogs is her nickname. Because one time, this was like the first week that I started bringing the recorder to work, and she walks up to me, and I say, hey, Michelle Foglia. What?
Totally wrong.
That's how I always see it and say it. In my head, at least.
Do you?
I never say it out loud. What is it really?
Foglia.
I like Foglia better. Hey, question. Maybe you can butcher my last name. Maybe then I'll feel less douchey about it.
Rossi?
Damn. Yeah, that's it. And so after that, it became Michelle Foglia. I would say, hey, Michelle Foglia. And then after that, it just became Fogs. Hey, Fogs. Usually my smallest bond with somebody would be me saying their name a specific way. Fogs. But the person whose name I loved saying the most was Lisa. Because I would always go, Lisa. Just like that. And I remember one time I told Brandon why I call Lisa, Lisa.
Lisa.
Have you ever seen My Cousin Minnie?
Yes.
Okay, you know where he's like yelling after her after he makes fun of the pictures, like, oh, where'd you shoot this from? Up in a tree? And then she gets up and leaves, right? And then he's all, Lisa! So every time I see Lisa, I say it like that.
I don't recall.
Yeah.
I'll have to.
You should check
I
it
like
out.
The two.
Oh, no. It's the part where we're just like, oh, you got it, honey. The case cracker. Me in the shower. No? Okay. And now, with you, sir, I did not know how to actor on you. I was like, do you want me to be funny? Do you want me to be serious? Hello, how are you? Or do you want me to be, hey, how's it going? Like, and I can't be that, like, hello, how are you today? Like, you know I can't be that way. So I was always intimidated by you. But then it kind of got to the point where it's like, whatever. He didn't fire me over that one incident. Oh, yes. Now, I know that you think that you know the whole story, but what I'm making for you is going to be for everyone. So, hey, everyone, this story. Like, I always thought that you never actually listened to me when I speak because I talk so much. I'm just going to tell this story. I don't care if you've heard it. God, I still cannot believe that you didn't fire me over this, but I got to tell the story. She walks in with her boyfriend, and she's all, like, flipping her hair, and it's all blonde and stringy, and she's got this, like, bitch air about her. She walks in, she goes, how long is the wait for two? And I'm like, oh, about a half an hour, and she goes, just like that, I swear to God. Like, normally you would think I would exaggerate, but I'm telling you the total truth right now. I'm known to embellish, but this is true. She goes, well, how long is it going to be for a booth? And I'm like, well, I just sat, like, three of them, so probably, like, I don't know, 40, 45 minutes. And she goes, well, okay, Courtney. Put it under Courtney. And she walks out, like, storms out, like I just told her her dog died or something. And the guy has this look on his face like, ugh, I'm a girlfriend. And I'm like, here you go. And I give him the pager, and then they go to sit outside. So then I totally forgot that they wanted a booth, and I buzz them for a table, and I'm like, here you go. And Courtney goes, we wanted a booth. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't have one right now. I'll just give you this pager back, and I'll keep my eyes peeled for the next one. And she goes, oh, okay. And she goes like, oh, and doesn't even say anything. She just like scoffs and storms out. I'm like, you ho, what a ho. I was so like offended by that. What a bitch. Like, it doesn't have to be this way. It's just a fucking restaurant. I was mad. I was so mad. And then the guy looked, and he's got this look on his face like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Oh, my girlfriend, can't take her anywhere. And I say to him, I go, are you dating Courtney? And he goes, yeah, I am. And I go, oh, okay. And he goes, why? And I'm all, no, just wanted to know. And he goes, no, why? And I go, well, she just seems a little high maintenance, that's all. He doesn't say a word to me. Walks out, and Courtney's sitting on that bench right outside the door. And he walks out, and they do the gestures, and you can see her gesturing, and she's pissed. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Jesus. And I'm like, oh, God, what do I do? I didn't know what to do. Like, what? Obviously, I got myself into this situation, but like, what? How can I? Oh, God, I was about to kill myself. Like, I did not know what to do. So I went out there and I said, look, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean it like that. And she goes, well, how else could you mean it? How else could you mean something like that? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to like come out that way. And she goes, well, and she does the little like shoe hand gesture in my face. And she's like, well, I guess I'm just a little too high maintenance for you. So you better get somebody higher up. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, oh my God. So then I was standing at the host stand. I didn't know what to do. I mean, what could I do? And then you walk up and you're like, how's it going, Roz? And I'm like, oh, good, good. I'm pretty good on my quote times, you know, a couple tables on bus, but I don't think Courtney's too happy. And you go, why? And then I tell you, and the color completely drains from your face. Your pupils get all teeny and your eyes kind of like you can kind of see the whites of your eyes just a little bit. And you say, why would you think that would be something that would be okay to say? Why would you ever think that that would be okay to say? What would prompt you to say something like that? And you storm off, like storm off. And I'm like, sorry. I was mortified. Like I thought I was fired. I totally thought I was fired, and I was crying. Like I didn't know what was going to happen. So then you say to me, you're like, when that booth becomes available, I want to seat them. I'm seating them. You were so fucking serious. And then, so then they come, and then you seat them, and then Sergi was working, and he, you know, saw the whole debacle, and as soon as you seat them, he gives me the marker, and he goes, do you want to cross them off? And I go, yes, and I cross it off, like, oh my god, I really wish that I had that recorded, just so you could have heard how fucking awful she was, and I think that one day, you know, when he's in a marriage, like an 8-year marriage with Courtney with like 80 kids, and she's just fucking going out all the time buying Fendi purses, he will think of me. He will think of the host who said that Courtney was high maintenance. I warned him, but no, didn't want to take my advice. But anyway, as for you, after that incident, I was just like, I can be myself now. If he didn't fire me over that, he obviously likes me. So I finally, like, eventually, obviously, as you know, I, like, found that balance between, like, serious and fun. And the thing about you is that when the only time you were, like, up at the host stand was when it was super busy. We barely got a chance to talk. But when we did, it was always fun. Hey, Archibald. How you doing?
Very nice.
She's very, 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 very nice.
Good spirit.
Nice.
What are you doing back here?
Working? I like her. I like all of them. I like everybody. I was thinking the 13 you could have.
Yeah, I'll take 13. Yeah, 16 might be a little much.
Yeah, I was thinking about the 13.
Yeah,
full show? Oh my gosh, I don't think I have room for...
for Millsap. For... You better make some happen now.
Let's see what I can do.
You got a couple big parties. You got those all set up for us?
No, not yet. Sure? It's not till 1, and then I was going to
put
the...
Sure.
You alright there?
She's like, no, it's not till 1. Yeah, we're good.
It's not till 1 and 3. I'm going to put them in the...
We haven't even checked
yet. 06.
We haven't even checked
yet. Yeah. Oh, blah. Oh, snazzy watch. I like that one. I like where you can see the insides.
Like
yeah, I love that. Ooh, a different watch.
No.
Not yet. Look at the ticking.
It's working.
It's a good one. I like that little arrow. Oh, it's a little broken right there. A little broken screenage.
No, better not be.
Well, that's what it looks like. Right there, a little tiny little...
What are you talking about, girl?
Tiny little scratch on there.
Scratch. Broken screenage.
Excuse me. What movies are you lined up for?
Avatar.
What are you looking?
I'm looking for, I have a 5 and a 6 at 5:30, so I'm looking to see. Everybody will be here by 5:30.
Celebratory, do a little dinner somewhere, you know? Ooh. What I'm saying, Rosie?
For sure.
What I'm saying?
For sure.
How come it says ready section 3?
Oh, because... That's why. Sorry, Audrey, Freddy sound the same. They look the same, too.
They look the same. I'll be honest with you, twins, to a certain degree. Fraternal, but twins.
I know, right?
Oh,
how do you do?
And a Rositer tonight.
Oh,
we
do.
My goodness.
Two Ros.
And a lot of Resies.
Archie, it was so busy on Saturday, so full of excitement that I never got to ask you what you thought.
Ruining his 50th birthday?
No.
What do you mean? Oh, is that what we're talking about? I'm sorry.
No, I was thinking.
I'm sorry, I thought we were talking.
No. I was talking about Idol.
I've been so out of touch, I don't even know.
Really? Because I thought.
The one girl getting kicked off. Ashley,
yeah.
You can believe it.
Hey, Archibald. How you doing?
Very nice.
She's very, very, very,
very
nice.
Spirit.
Good spirit. Nice. Got four more.
Four more inside?
Yes. 28, 27,
67.
Just 55.
What? Nothing outside?
Nope. It's all on bus.
Is this wedding
invitation? Oh, yeah. It's a wedding invitation.
Okay, I just get a kick out of the picture.
I'm telling you, I'll be honest, that girl seems a little out of his league.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not judging.
Well, it's like throw it away. I'm like
Kimberly Faust Campbell.
Stinkin' rich. Campbell? Who knows?
We can go, you know. We have an invitation. Who wants to crash this party with me? And I always thought, as I was making these recordings, I always thought, like, Archie's never seen me, like, seat somebody. He doesn't know what I do when I'm taking somebody to 28 or in the back over to 21. Like, Archie doesn't know. He's never heard it. So That's one thing that I never changed was the way that I hosted, the way that I sat people.
There you go. See the whole wing to yourself here? So I'd say that one is pretty good because it's no one's here.
Oh.
You guys can hear each other. And
all right. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Pretty close to the kitchen, so you don't have to worry about getting water.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies. So they got up. It just needs to be cleaned up. You saw that? Yeah, what look?
I got only four.
That's enough pens.
No.
How many? Yeah. What section are you in here? Ready?
So I need to write it down.
Section 13. Well, technically, you have four tables, but I haven't sat any of them right now. So when you need that pen, and
can
it's
I come back and get it?
Come back and get it. Yes.
All right. We're gonna want to sit over here and give her a really hard time.
Cole's a big tipper too.
Good. I hope she does terribly, spills your drinks on you, all that stuff. She might though, so. Inside, right? Okay, inside is the available one. You guys wanted the booth, right? It's ready for you if you'd like to sit down. Oh! She just said it. So she didn't know though. Oh man. Okay, let's go to a table. Man! Wow, it is so busy. I'm gonna pass out. Hello. Oh no, we're open.
The door was just.
Oh, it's so heavy these days. I don't know why it's that way. So I'm thinking these two here.
Okay.
Oh, you don't have to help me. It's okay. My job. That's my job.
You can sit wherever you like. Sky's the limit.
Oh, anywhere we want to sit.
Oh yeah. How you doing?
Two for outside.
Two for outside. Right this way.
And the sad part is as soon as I get super comfortable with everybody and I love it, I get another job and I leave.
If you let me love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you all the way. I've always wanted to ask you this. Do you enjoy working with me?
I absolutely adore working with you.
I always wondered.
I feel like I've known you for like 20 years.
I know, me too.
Seriously, like, I'll see you 20 years, I'll know exactly who you are. You're like, hey, it's Emily Rossi. I, like, literally, there's a place that leave, and, like, they'll be gone for, like, a month, and they'll call back. I'm like, I don't remember who it is.
Oh, I will.
Who do I pay?
You got it. I bought it for you.
Oh, thanks, Archie. Are you going to hug me?
Like, I really do miss that. I really do miss that place. I do. I miss it so much. It was so much fun. And that the table numbers, it was like another language. So, thank you for buying my meal on my last day. And I hope you really enjoyed this. And the whole point of it was so I could tell you I bought the recorder not for the reasons that you think. Like I said, all my stories connect back to other stories. And the reason that I bought the recorder is a series of events that all connect up to that night when I was with Erica doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing. June 6th, 2009, and I was writing ferociously in my journal. That was the culmination of events for the past 2 years prompting me to buy a recorder. Like, I can't go into it too much, but I guess one day you'll know that story. And I'm going to end on a note of whenever this song comes on shuffle, I think of you. And it's Bang and Blame by REM. This song used to play all the time at the restaurant. And I remember one night I was standing at the host stand, and then I look over at you and you're coming out of the bathroom on down that little hallway thing, and this song is playing and you're walking like totally badass. You have this badass walk. And so this song will always remind me of you, and it's the coolest song, and they don't play it anymore, so you probably haven't heard it in a long time. So I hope you enjoyed this, and I enjoyed working with you, and I hope you don't mind any, and you won't sue me.
Says no, 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 no. You bang, bang.
use this against Boozin. You know, Susan, call her Boozin. I don't know how that started.
Boozin!
What time do you work out?
4.
Me too.
Okay, how's my face looking? Is it okay?
Looks beautiful.
How's my hair looking?
Hair looks great.
She's a liar.
I'm not a liar. Boozin, you look good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Totally was like rushing to get here.
Yeah, me too. Woo! I just woke up. Like, the first day that I brought the recorder to work with me, I was kind of like Boozin's first week, and she had come in, and she didn't know her table numbers. And so she asks me something, and my response is just priceless.
I just set 63, but Luis isn't here till 5:45, so if you wanna...
63, how many is it?
It's just two ladies, two gals. 63. Right, two away from 65.